Hello everyone, welcome back, or welcome to the Happy as Hell podcast. Today, we are talking about the ending of fear. And this discussion originates from a question a listener sent in, thank you very much. I've divided this episode into a couple of parts. And in the first part, we looked at the issue of fear. And in the second part, let's look at what we can do to end it. Talk to you soon. One does not need to learn what one already is, only unlearn what one thinks they are. There is no way to happiness, none whatsoever. In searching for it, you will destroy its beauty. One does not become happy, one is happy. Ask, what is fear? Observe without judgment, and you have opened the door to compassion, which is the only form of intelligence. And once you have seen it, you cannot unsee it. So can you end it, your conditioned mind?
End it.
So let's continue the discussion. This is part two now. We're looking at ending fear. And we're trying to continue answering the question about pain, suffering, and worrying about what might happen in the future. So I recommend you listen to part one before listening to this part. We're talking about how does fear come about? And in this episode, what we can do to end it all. And I find it rather interesting to see that fear, whether it's being afraid of death, or the fear of loneliness, or the fear of not being loved, or the fear of pain, as we're talking about, the fear of not becoming successful, the fear of not graduating, the fear of not living up to your parents' expectations, and also the physical and psychological security that we naturally seek. We have so much to deal with. So as the questioner is worried about losing their job or not being able to work as many hours and having less income, that's the fear the questioner points out. Or the fear of their sickness is not going to get better or take a long time. So let's find out together, you, the listener, me, the speaker, what is the origin of this fear and how can we put an end to it so that your body can focus on healing, not on worry and stress. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could eradicate all the fear? This is not an idea, folks. It's a possibility and a very, very real one. It can be done. But you have to know how to look. Eradicating fear will not only eradicate all the potential neurotic actions that take place because of it, but sickness too, a lot of disease will be gone. But you have to be really, and this is the key point here, you really have to be, no pun intended, sick and tired of living life this way, in fear. You have to be, in a way, very stubborn about being aware of what is fear and having the determination to end it. It's not a motivation that you need to build up. It's just that you've gotten to the point and you're done with it. A lot of people will know what I'm talking about, but don't know what to do. So, are you aware of your fears? And can you see what happens with your fear? What do you do? What's your reaction to fear? Do you run away from it, take up some pleasurable activity or take up some drink or hit the sweets and just to push it out of the way temporarily? Or you might end up taking some, you know, rational approach. You've read a theory somewhere and you're going to try it and analyze what's going on, which itself is quite worth questioning, because how can you question something that has created itself? Anyway, where is all this coming from? Let's find out what fear itself is. if I answer this question for you, all right, I could end the podcast within about a minute. And then you'll either accept it or replay it to try and analyze it and, you know, intellectually build it into your own mind and then follow that. And that actually blinds you from the fact, by the way. I would rather you try and answer this question from your side, by yourself. So you can think of any fear that you have. And then where does this fear come from? All right, can we do this together? You don't have to, of course. You can finish off here. But if you have something that's bothering you, whether it's fear of disease, fear of future, fear of losing your job, fear of anything in the future, or fear of something that somebody might find out about you, all of that kind of stuff, fear of not feeling accepted, or fear of loneliness, as we mentioned. So I want to find out why I'm afraid. And I could do what everybody else does, and I can rationalize it and apply the theories of cause and effect. I'm afraid, I'm not healthy enough, I'm not going to be able to have enough money, my family may not be able to get support anymore, I may have to sell my home, all of that comes up, right? Cause effect. But am I actually understanding fear? Or, please listen, or the idea of fear. Again, am I actually understanding the fact of fear itself or the idea of fear? What's the difference between these two? If I analyze the problem, I might be able to reach the cause of my fear, as I mentioned. It's rather simple, you know, we can do it that way. I look at why I'm afraid of not being able to work and not having enough income, and then the effect might be, and we haven't even talked about the future yet, we might as well start. The effect might be I might lose my home, might lose everything I've worked so hard for. I can't send my kids to private school. I can't get enough food on the table. I can't. Panic kicks in, and everything you try and do, all that energy that you don't have, by the way, especially if you're fighting disease, is going to be sapped. So approaching it in this way, what's happening? The analyzer, the person looking at the problem, is analyzing something, right, this issue. And they, because of this, they are actually separating themselves from the problem. They believe there is an analyzer, somebody looking, and the problem itself, which are two different things. Does that make sense? So what if we don't analyze? What if we just observe this fear? I asked a little while ago, what is the difference between actually understanding the fact of fear, or are we looking at the idea of fear? If I just look, right, not analyze, just observe, just look, observe. They're two different things. Observing means there is no one doing the looking. There is just looking. The analyzer will try to embark on a path of searching through all of its knowledge banks, going into all the reasons, all the noise, all influencing from their own upbringing and conditioning, and trying to analyze it with theories, with knowledge, and therefore they are creating a separation between the one who is analyzing and what is being analyzed. And nothing really changes because fear shows itself in some other form. Right? And the analyzer thinks they have solved the problem, and so they find a solution and apply it. They might have gotten rid of the fear somehow by something somebody taught them or some meditation or whatever solution, only to find out it comes back in some other form or way. Now what happens with some cancer patients? They remove the cancer or get rid of it, only to find out it comes back. So it's worth looking at the correlation between the psychological fact and the physical fact here. Are they related? Mind and body is usually one, folks. What's going on psychologically affects your entire body. Science shows you this. I don't have to prove anything here. You can go look it up. But this is understood now. So if there is a correlation as to why this is happening, then maybe this is worth looking into. What is the correlation between these two? Now, please don't jump at this with all kinds of medical and scientific justifications and start saying that, no, this person said that and I don't believe it. It's okay. But we're not going to get to the bottom of this if we do that, okay? So that's not looking, that's not observing. So just look at the fear, right? Just observe. In observation, there is no separate observer. Does this make sense? When you're observing something, there is no one doing the looking. You are looking. I've heard this somewhere before. The observer is the observed. Look without analysis. The analyzer, on the other hand, will look. They analyze and then do something. This is how they train. This is the process of the mind. This is how much, you know, this is how most businesses operate. PDCA. Plan, do, check, act. The brain is probably trained so well it's doing the same thing. Interesting, isn't it? But that is not what we're doing here. We're just observing. When we observe without the analyzer, without the observer, without the person putting its two cents in, what happens? What occurs? Well, one thing is that observation will show you what is being observed. Okay? You can see it. And also, by observing this way, it changes the way you see things. In other words, the way you observe without expectations, without conclusions, without looking for a purpose, then you can see. I mean, if you are looking to find something, right, you already have a picture of something and you're trying to find out what's going on, you can't actually see what's happening with fear itself. It's like a Sufi story I once heard. It goes something like this. There was a man who loses the keys to his home. And one day his neighbor walks by and sees this man on his hands and knees scrambling around his front yard in the grass. And he asks him, "Did you lose something?" And the man replies, "Yes, I lost my keys." So the nice neighbor asks him, "Well, you can tell me whereabouts you think you lost them and I'll help you look for them." So the man says, "Oh, I lost them in the house." And the neighbor, who at this point scratches his head and says, "Well, what the hell are you looking for them out here for?" The man replies and says, "Oh, there's more light out here." Right? So do you see how rationality analysis interferes? If the man would just observe without analysis, without any movement of trying to find the keys, just watch without a motive, then the thing you are watching itself undergoes a radical change. So can you watch your fear this way? You don't need to practice anything here. All you have to do is, again, you've had enough of the moment and you want to do away with it all and observe this fear with passion. But you've got to observe it without the analyzer. Then, what happens? There's a chance that you're going to see the root of this fear. Are you doing this? Have you chosen something? And are you observing it without any analysis? You are what is being observed. Then there's a chance you see the root of fear itself, of all fears, which is what? Look back at the question. We looked at the disease and its relationship to fear and pain. Now, what about the second part of the question, which was about the worry of income and not being able to provide? Obviously, a fear as well, right? Rooted in what concept? Please look at this. What is the concept that's causing this? The catalyst for this fear? What do you think it is? Isn't it related to time? I might not have enough income. I might lose my job. I might have to sell my home. I'm afraid of death. I'm afraid of not being able to help my family. I'm afraid of losing somebody I love. All of these things have not even happened yet. And yet we are dissipating all of the brain's energy by projecting our thought in a way that is in the future. Right? I'm afraid not to be accepted by colleagues, so I avoid certain things or I behave like they want me to. It's the same thing in not being accepted by society. Right? I'm afraid to lose my husband or wife. Please just look at this, observe, not analyze. Just see these fears and acknowledge they exist. And observe in a way that you're not analyzing. Then, isn't fear part of the movement of time? Talked about this a few episodes ago. From one state to another, something has to happen. It takes time. In this case, from the present, which the questioner implies an analyzer who's analyzing the future or what potentially could happen, implies that there could be a time. This is movement. This is the movement of time. Right? So what's involved in this movement of time? What's going on? I'm projecting things into the future. Where is that projection coming from? Isn't it a process of thought? I think my boyfriend or girlfriend is sleeping with somebody else. I think if I cry in public, I will not be considered a man. All these things that thought pushes out, created from things in the past. Is it possible for you to observe the movement of time, which is thought? And there is the root of fear. You don't have to take any actions. There's nothing to do. Just to look without the observer itself. Just look. You, the observer, is not necessary. The observer becomes the accumulation of the past knowledge, full of theories and applications and practices and influences from all kinds of conditioning. Without all of that, without any goal to want to see anything, just observe. Then you will see the root of fear is showing itself. The problem of thought. And a change occurs. Are you doing this? Please feel free to let me know if you've noticed something. When the speaker does this, he finds that there is no more or no longer any value in worrying about tomorrow or next year. There's no more energy going in that direction because there is no more direction. Time is the direction when you analyze. But since there is no observer, you're just observing, there's no more direction. There's no more processing of thought. There's no more needing to get somewhere. So I have no value. There's no value for me in worrying about what the news says, you know, or what the experts are telling me to do, or when the world is going to end, what China and Russia and US are doing, why prices are going up. I don't bother attaching myself in any way, not letting thought process any analysis around this. Then my energy is free to look without any noise. And from the energy that remains or that is there, I have the energy to heal. I have the energy to create. I have the energy to live in joy. Because by eradicating fear, I've released my brain from the jail and I've given it the freedom to do what it's designed to do, to use energy for its own healing, to be free of guilt, free of worry, free of attachment, free of seeking. I wish you well. Love and light to you all. Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by the Silent Leadership Institute in Japan. To discover more insights, blogs, and online courses, please visit gciminelli.com. If you feel this podcast will help others, please help me share it to the world by giving it a rating or a review or sharing it on social media.